I appreciate Brother Brent Gellis. He is a good brother. He is a good testimony for the Lord, for his family, and for our church. And I mean that. Where he goes, he has a good name, good testimony. And I'm glad God is using him. I remember the early days of evangelism, and the meetings were slow in coming, but he stayed faithful. God's met their needs. And now his calendar's filling up. It's not full, but it's filling up. And I appreciate him. And I'm thankful. I appreciate him taking this service for me this afternoon. And I always enjoy hearing him preach. And I look forward to it. Brother Dave, you got our special. And really, let's try to stay put, okay? I know if there's a child that needs to go out, now's the time to take them, okay? And if we can just stay put through the message, that'd be great. Brother Dave and Brother.
Still, 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 the night is calm and still. The Christ child in his crib lies sleeping. Angels round him watch are keeping. Still, 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 the night is calm and still. Sleep, 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 sweet Jesus, softly sleep. While Mary sings and gently holds you safely in her arms, enfold you. Sleep, 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 sweet Jesus, softly sleep. Dream, dream, dream of the joyous day to come, while guardian angels without number watch you as you sweetly slumber. Dream, dream, dream of the joyous day to come.
Well, let's wait and put the mic back on. Wait on opening your Bibles for just a second. Let's take a quiz. Ready to take a quiz? Oh, some of your faces just now, like. Okay, keep track of your own answers. Number one, how many wise men came to see Jesus? Don't talk out loud, just keep track of your own answers. How many wise men came to see Jesus? Number two, how old does the Bible say Jesus was when the wise men came? How old does the Bible say that Jesus was? You just keep track. How old does the Bible say that Jesus was when the wise men came? Number three, according to the Bible, what were the wise men's names? According to the Bible, what were the wise men's names? Number four, what nationality were the wise men, or what country did they come from? Number four, what nationality were the wise men, or what country did they come from? Number five, how long was the wise men's journey? How long was the wise man's journey? How do you think he did? School's off, so we're not thinking. Okay, let's answer the questions. Number one, how many wise men came to see Jesus? The answer, the Bible doesn't say. Okay, traditionally we think three, probably because there's three gifts. Number two, how does the Bible say Jesus was when the wise men came? Answer, the Bible doesn't say. Under two, because of Herod's response, but anywhere from 6, maybe upwards to 18, 20 months old. We don't know exactly. Depends upon a couple of answers to the other questions. Number three, according to the Bible, what were the wise men's names? The Bible doesn't say. Does anybody know the historical names that were given to the wise men? All right, I hear... I'll start. Melchor, Caspar, and starts with a B and rhymes with Ahavazar. Anybody? Belshazzar. And do you remember where they're from? The Bible doesn't say. But historically, Melchior is from Persia, Caspar is from India, and Belshazzar is from Babylon. But the Bible doesn't say. Number four, what nationality were the wise men, or what country did they come from? The Bible doesn't say. Number five, how long was the wise man's journey? Wise man's journey. The Bible doesn't say. I know that's a trick question. I know I shouldn't do that to you. But hopefully I caught your attention before you settle into your chilly stupor and coma. And for the next few minutes, let's just think about the Bible. You know, when we come to this time of year, the pastor, preacher, evangelist, whoever says, oh, let's open to Luke 2 or let's open to Matthew 2. And instantly our mind goes to blah, 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 because we've heard this before. In those days, and it's just almost like Charlie Brown's teacher. Blah, 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 blah. Because we've heard this, some of us, our entire lives. And every year about this time, we read through the Christmas story. But open up to Matthew 2 and let's actually think about the words. I thought about reading it in Greek to you, but that wouldn't do any good. So I decided just to read it in our King James. And let's stop and think and ask some questions. For the next few minutes, let's think, engage our brain, which I know is a challenge for many of us on Sunday afternoon at 1:30. But for the next few minutes, let's engage our brain. It is great to have friends and family here. My parents are here, as was mentioned this morning, and it's always great to have them here. It's been 9 years since my dad came here. Last time he was here was for my ordination service. That's how much he loves us. No. My mom's been here between now and then. But then it's also good to see friends and family as well. Good to see the Pixleys. Nice sweaters. And good to have the Cattermans. They're sitting behind my family. They're friends from over in Lowell. They came over for the day. I don't know if they knew what they're getting into today, but good to have you guys here. They're shaking their head. No, we didn't. But glad you guys are here. And good to have, I know many of you have family. And some of you kids are probably excited to go home and play in the snow. Any kids playing in the snow this afternoon? Yeah. That's exciting. Some of the kids are like, am I supposed to say, yeah, it's church. I'm supposed to think church. It's exciting. It's good to have fun with family. I'm looking forward to tonight. There's two hams, I was told, tonight. That's good stuff right there. And there's a lot of sweets, and now, thanks to Luke, there's 1,300 M&Ms. No pressure to share, but yeah. Anyway, Matthew 2. Let's read together. You read quietly. I'll read out loud. But please keep your brain engaged. And while I'm reading, don't wander around mentally, but stay engaged with what the Bible has to say. Matthew 2, verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard all these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently that what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Father, for these next few minutes, help us to think biblically. Help us to stay engaged. Help us to stay focused on your word. And would your word challenge us this afternoon to think? And would we leave here with Bible direction on which way our lives should go? Thank you for the truth. Thank you for this time of year. Thank you for the family, the friends, and the fun that we're going to have even tonight, many of us, and the reason for the season. Help us for the next few minutes to think biblically. I need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to first look at some questions. You know, we read through the story, and this is the only place that we hear of the Magi. And the reason I say Magi is because the Greek word behind wise men there in verse 1 is Magi. That's why you often hear the term the Magi and the three Magi, but we don't know that there's even three. We don't know a lot about these. In fact, if we're honest, there's more questions about this passage than we have answers. And I wrote down some of these questions that we can just think about today. Number one, where did the star first appear? But look what your Bible says there in verse 1 again. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, this has always puzzled me, and I don't have the answers. And I did some digging this week in commentaries, and you know what? They don't have the answers either. So this is Judea. Obviously, if you're looking, this is west, this is east for you guys. But they're in the east, and they see the star in the east, and they go this way? I don't know. I don't have all the answers. So where did they see that? They saw the star maybe rising in the east. Maybe they saw the sign. I don't know. There's a lot of questions about this passage, how they connected it all. So where did the star first appear? It seems that it appeared in the east. And it seems from the text they saw the star once. We have seen the star and are come to find the baby. So they saw the star once, meaning they were looking for it. And they came, began their journey. What was the star is question number two. You know, this is pretty varied. Some scholars offer different options. Perhaps it was planets aligning. Perhaps it was a supernova where a star explodes. It was a comet. And different scholars have pointed to different dates and different things for astronomy that can point back to what happened around 4 or 5 B.C. But truth be told, we don't know. And it could have been just, I link to just the fact that it was supernatural. Hebrews 9 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And just like Paul on the road, only Paul saw what was happening. Everybody else was confused. It could be that only these, however many men there were, saw the star because they were looking. We don't know. There's a lot of questions. And they began their journey. So number three, how did they connect the star to Jewish Messiah? This is another interesting question. How did they know, that's the Jewish Messiah sign? Perhaps they go back to Balaam's prophecy in Numbers 24, when it says, there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. But again, we're not exactly sure. How in the world did they know to see a star in the east and begin this monumental trek west? Good question. Don't know. Number four, why did they come to Jerusalem? Well, maybe they didn't have Micah 5:2. Well, if you know that's a Jewish Messiah, we might assume. And even if they had Micah 5:2 and knew it was going to be born in Bethlehem, they wouldn't know where Bethlehem was. They had to go to Jerusalem first to ask directions. This is before the days of maps. Imagine some person in China saying, hey, there's going to be something special happening in Manteno, Illinois. I've heard of Chicago, Illinois. Maybe I'll just go to Chicago first and find Manteno after that. This is in the days before maps. So we don't know exactly why they did what they did. We don't even know what route they came. Question number five. Who were these wise men? I already mentioned that the term wise men you see there in chapter 2, verse 1, is from the Greek word magi. And that word is actually a Persian word. It comes from the Persian language, meaning a wise man, a viewer of stars. Oftentimes, magi were connected to astrology. I don't know the background of these wise men. The Bible doesn't say, but what is amazing is they connect this star to the Jewish Messiah. We don't know their baggage. We don't know their background even. But they were men of faith who connected the star to the Jewish Messiah and began their journey. That's all we know. They were possibly expert astronomers. Some have even said they were Eastern astrologers. Later on in the 3rd through 6th centuries, they were referred to as kings. And even supposedly Marco Polo in the 1200s on his route across China found one of their tombs. But of course, that's all hearsay, tradition, and speculation. And of course, we have the song from the 1800s called We Three Kings of, which really is... has not much, very little basis. I'm not against singing it, but very little basis in Scripture. We don't know who they were. It's also possible that these were Jewish men. During the time of Christ in Babylon, there was a very large, upwards of 10,000 to 15,000 community of Jewish people. These perhaps were men who may or may not have had Micah's prophecy, but who had the bulk of Scripture. Maybe were from the spiritual lineage of Daniel. We don't know. We have no idea where they came from. Tradition, obviously, as we mentioned, states Persia, India, and Babylon, but that's only tradition. That's not the scripture. And maybe God left that out for a purpose, to get our attention, to help us to understand. These people are like Melchizedek in the Old Testament. We don't know much about them. But what little light they had, they followed. And they only saw it once, it seems like. We get the picture of them walking across the desert following the star. But that actually didn't happen, supposedly, according to the text, till they were in Jerusalem. And then they saw the star again. Wow. Who were the wise men? We don't know. How far did they come? Again, we don't know. Depends where they came from. It says they're men from the east. With what they know and why they came, we would assume that Daniel had something to do with their background. And with how much they knew, I would lean to the fact that these men maybe have had some Jewish roots or at least some Jewish influence because of how much they knew. Again, we don't know. If they came from Babylon, there's a couple routes to go. They could go up the Euphrates River and then come down. That was about 1,000 to 1,200 mile trek. If they came straight across, it was much more dangerous. It was about 500 miles. So scholars and those familiar with biblical archaeology have estimated that the route took them between 6 months and 18 months. Now let's think about that. Here you are, you're a wise man, whatever that is, in the east. Let's call it Babylon. Or even further out, Persia, Susa, wherever they're at. You're going to give up a year to 3 years of your life because you saw a star. Not me. I don't think I would. But here's these men of faith. Men who are passionate. Men who are believers. Men who had been convinced of Scripture. And who see a star and hold on their family and life for the next year to 3 years to go follow this, whatever they saw. We would call them fools today. But God honors them and gives them an exalted place in Scripture. So who are the wise men? We don't know. How far did they come? 500 to 15 months, 1,500 miles, 6 to 20 months of travel, maybe 1 to 3 years of total journey. How many were there? We don't know. Typically, we're told three kings because of the three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that brings up the eighth question. How did they know what gifts to bring? Again, we don't know for sure. Gold might picture deity. Frankincense might also picture deity. Frankincense and myrrh are both like, think pine tar, but from different types of trees. They're both used in embalming incenses. And they're both like a resin, a tar, that would come and be collected off of trees. And even today, frankincense and myrrh comes from the Middle East. And they're used in perfumes and alloys in traditional ceremonies. And since this passage, they're now used in Christian ceremonies as well, all across the Middle East. But again, we don't know why they did this, but perhaps they understood. And maybe they didn't even understand, but Matthew, when he recorded the Gospels, recorded the fact that they gave gold and frankincense and myrrh as probably a picture of what would happen to this little infant child. So those are the questions. Now let's look at the contrast. We just read this passage, and many of you have probably read it multiple times, but let's look at some of the differences. Matthew here paints a picture, and he sets people apart from each other. Look what it says in verse number 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. This is Herod the Great. This guy was very skillful politically. He was descendant nationally from Esau. He had married in a couple times to the Jewish race. But in his later years, he became maniacal and crazy. He had his favorite wife killed and his two sons killed because they were posing as threats to the throne. He's in the last few years of his reign here. And he's desperately trying to hang on to the title King of the Jews. He's doing whatever he can to hang on to the title. And here we're introduced to a person. Notice, look what it says here, what the wise men said. Look at verse 2 with me. The wise men came from the east to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he that is born that will one day become king of the Jews?" Is that what your Bible says? No. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? When Jesus was born, he was already king. Here you have a maniacal ruler trying desperately to hang on to the throne. And here you have a perfect innocent baby who was king from before foundation of the world. He was born king. He was raised king. He lived king. He died king. He was buried king. He was risen king. He ascended king. and he's seated king. All hail King Jesus. And here you have the contrast between one who doesn't have to try because he always has been and always will be king. He was born king of the Jews. And you have the contrast between a wicked, maniacal ruler trying to hang on to the title. Matthew, secondly, gives us contrast between the wise men and Herod. Here's the wise men who see the star in the east and who leave their life, whatever it was there, whatever their profession was, they leave it for the next year at least, maybe upwards of 3 years, to go follow the star to find some baby. It's a baby. It's just a baby, right? And here you have Herod, who's full of fake worship. You have seen it before. Look what Herod says in verse number 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." You have fake worship compared to genuine heart worship. I'm not going to re-preach what Pastor said this morning, but that's the essence of it. True heart worship. They worshiped God. They were looking. And because they were worshiping and looking, they began to work. They began to walk, you could say. They moved. So you have the wise men and Herod. Genuine sacrifice of money, time, security, and reputation. I'm sure the people thought that when the wise men left, these guys are crazy. They saw a star. Now they're on this journey over to Jerusalem. What in the world? But here you have genuine worship and you have fake worship. Third contrast, and we're done. We have the wise men versus the scribes. Here the wise men don't have much information. We don't know exactly what they had, what they knew, what sections of Scripture they even had. But they obeyed what little light they had. What little light they had, they followed. Even though it meant leaving their homeland for a great length of time, risking their reputation, risking everything they knew, they still obeyed the light they had. Look with me what the Bible describes in verse 4. And when he, the king, had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." So you know what the scribes answered? The Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Bethlehem of Judea was 6 miles away from Jerusalem. 6 miles. Obviously, we live in a different perspective, but if you were to start to walking, I wouldn't recommend it today, if you were to start to walking down to KCC, the ice rink that sometimes we've run in times past, that's about 6 miles walk. You wouldn't want to do that today. It would take you maybe 2-3 hours, maybe today a little bit longer. But on a good day of 2-3 hours of walking, an afternoon of walking to get to Bethlehem from where these scribes are sitting. But what do? He's down there. He's down there, 6 miles away. Did they go down and look at him? The wise men knew so little, but came so far. The scribes knew so much, but didn't move at all. What a contrast. You know, it's not about knowledge. Friend, you can have close, first-hand knowledge of a lot of things. That doesn't make you the expert. You can understand and read even the stories. You can be a biblical scholar and still not enter heaven. You can know all the facts there are about Christmas, all the details. That doesn't mean you're born again. That doesn't mean you're on your way to heaven. I walked into the post office this week and picked out stamps. You know what was on the stamps? The Nativity. Everybody in our country, I'm sure, has seen, if they're able to, have seen a Nativity scene. Everybody's seen maybe even a Christmas pageant. Maybe they've even seen a movie. Maybe they've watched something or seen something. They've seen some special. They've taken a religious class where they were introduced to Jesus. Oh, yeah, I know all that. I know. No, friend. That's not enough. It's not. Here's people, the scribes and the chief priests, the men who are the religious elite, the ones who have the degrees, the ones who had been to seminary. Here they were. And what did they know? They knew exactly where the Messiah was born. But did they go and see him? Did they take the afternoon off and go and see Jesus? He's down there. He's about 6 miles south. You can't miss it. Little podunk village of Bethlehem. Wonder what's down there. Their knowledge had made them arrogant. Their religion had made them proud. Their culture had made them standoffish and arrogant. And here were men who traveled, risked their lives to come across when they saw a star. Friend, it's not just enough about to know the facts. It's about Jesus. It's about finding Him. It's about knowing who He is. Here we have this interesting story. This is the only place in Scripture where we're told what had happened. And this is the only place we're introduced to the Magi. How many were there? We don't know. Who were they? Not quite sure. How far did they come? Not quite sure either. But what little light they saw, they obeyed. Hey friend, if you're here today and you've never placed your faith in Christ, you have way, way, way more light than they do. And you're going to be responsible for it. Every single one of us will give an account of what we do with truth. The fact of the Christmas season is not just the presents, the lights, the nativity. It's more than that. It's the fact that Christ came for us. The baby born in a manger was born to die for our sin. He paid the ultimate price. He is the way, the truth, the life. He Himself said, nobody gets to the Father but through Me. There's one Savior. His name is Jesus. 2,000 years ago, He was born. And angels came and announced Him. Shepherds came and revered Him. Wise men traveled great distance just to worship Him. You can know all the facts, but miss heaven. If eternity started now, are you certain that you would be in heaven? I don't know everybody here. Many of you I know by face. Many of you I know your name and you know me, but I can't look into your soul. What have you done with truth? You know, some of you could have sat in church for years. You're like the scribes, the Pharisees, and the chief priest. Oh, yeah, I know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You may have been a kid here, and you memorize verses, and you know all the facts. You can rattle off the facts, but that's not it. It's about what you do within your heart. You know, it's a trite phrase, and many of you probably heard it, but wise men still seek Jesus. What will you do with Jesus this year? Father, help us to obey truth. Here's a passage where we have more questions when we come away than answers. But perhaps You did that for a reason. Father, if there's one here that is not sure of salvation, doesn't know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, I pray that even today, and if not this Christmas season, they'd understand that He alone is the way. It's not about going to church. It's not about being good or turning over a new leaf. It's not even about knowing what the Bible says. It's about personally applying it, believing, having faith in what Jesus said. I pray You'd help them to understand Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. With heads bowed and eyes still closed, we're almost done. How many would say, Brent, there has been a time in my life when I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If eternity started this afternoon, I would be in heaven, and I know it. I'm absolutely for sure of it. Would you lift your hand as a testimony of that fact? Thank you. Put your hands down. I couldn't see everybody just now, and I am not going to embarrass anybody, but I would like to pray for you if you're struggling. Maybe you're here and you don't know. You've got questions. You're not sure. I don't know. I have questions. I'm not sure. I don't know if eternity started today for me that I go to heaven. Can I pray for you? Again, I don't know you. I might not even know your name, so I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out. I'm not asking you to join the church or give money or anything like that. But can I pray for you? Just heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just simply lift your hand and I'll see it. I don't know. I have questions. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Can I pray for you, friend? Father, help us to obey truth. Father, thank You for the example of the wise men. And for those here who may still be struggling, may still be questioning, may still be wondering about their eternal home. I pray that they'd see that Jesus Christ alone, not church, not religion, not reformation, not transformation, but Jesus alone is the way, the truth, of life. He gives eternal life alone. And I pray that this Christmas will be a time for them to place their faith and trust in the Messiah. The baby that was born so long ago, lived a perfect life, died for our sins, rose again, and is seated today. He is God's Son, Jesus. He's King Jesus. Help them to see that. We need your help. In Jesus' name, keep us safe as we head home. I pray you'd help us to obey and follow and love you, and help us to be wise men. And with what light we have, help us to seek you fully. In Jesus' name.
Heads bowed, eyes are closed. The application can be made to more than just salvation truth. Christian living truth. 6 miles away. Yeah, we know that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But how many of us have employed it, engaged it, practiced it? They had little bitty knowledge, just a little bit of Scripture to go on, but they took advantage of it. We have a canon of 66 books and flippantly give heed to it. God help us to give attention to truth, and not just with our mental acknowledgement, with our heart practice. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing. Have time to pray if you want to come. We'll take a moment for you. If you're not saved, what better day to get saved than right now, this moment, while we wait. Yes. Don't head home without Christ residing in your heart by faith.